It's great to be together again. Sorry we're not all able to be together, but it's good and that everybody can join in some way this morning. And encourage you to have your Bibles out and follow along. There's really probably two passages we're going to spend most of our time in, but I feel like our song service and worship service this morning has been great. Our prayers and observance of the supper is all important, and it's good to be together to do those things. As we think about and study, and I didn't look at this ahead of time, my slide there is an old-timey church building. And in some people's minds, that's maybe what we think of, the old wooden church, a small one-room church building. And so some people might, you might think of, when we use the word church, you might think of that. And today's lesson, though, I want to take a look at words we use, in particular a couple of words that we use. But to get into our reading, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9 is what I chose for our reading. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. And if you'll mark this 1 Peter, we'll be coming back to this book. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9 reads there, "You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light." Within that passage there, Peter brings out a change, a uniqueness, even peculiarity, as the King James uses. I forgot, I didn't go back and look and see what other versions use, but a peculiar people. We get a lot of mileage out of that, joking and each other about it being a peculiar people, but we are a unique people. God has chosen. And so with that in mind, let's go and get myself together here. Let's talk about names. Let's talk about names. Historically, names have had meaning. Historically, names have had meaning. I personally have lost sight of that. Maybe you have as well. We've talked about this a few times in our classes. It's come up and it gets enlightened me in some regards. We talk about the Porters, Dave and Catherine, and their family. That name, the Porter name, meant something. In other words, they were doorkeepers or servants. In particular, like Merriam-Webster, if you use their definition, a person stationed at a door or a gate. And if you remember in John, I think it's chapter 10, there's the parable of the porter. And that's where their name comes from, ward. That's a guard. That'll be my last name in our family. So it has to do with guard or guarding as a ward. Palmer, that had a background. If our history and if you believe Google, those who often went to not evangelical. There's another word I'm trying to think of there. Hang on a second. They would, the pilgrimage to the Holy Land. They would bring out palms to show that they got there. So here's proof of palms. So it became Palmers. Is where that name, that's ancestry.com, right? Some of this information. Wheelers. We know some wheelers in life. They made wheels. We don't think about that today. We buy our wheels at Point S or wherever, right? But Wheeler was a man. So we had our names in some cases came from our occupations and our jobs. And then other times it's locative. In other words, where we're from. Some of these, I have three last names people tell me. Ross, Upton, and Ward are all last names. But regardless, Ross was locative from someplace in Netherlands or someplace. And Upton, Uptown, Woods, we know some Woods. Coach, that's, I don't know if I spelt that right, Catherine, but Catherine's over here, I'm sorry. That is also a locative name. And so you can go and research these and where they originated from. And so sometimes names were locative. In other words, where you're from. And so they had meaning and they meant something. And besides just identifying us. And then we recognize there's some names we don't use, right? You know anybody named Hitler anymore? That name's not used much, right? That name's not used. Jezebel. Everybody names their daughters Jezebel nowadays, right? No, we don't do that, do we? Judas, Delilah, Rahab, Even Johnny Cash's song about Sue, a boy named Sue. Don't name your son Sue, he said at the end of that song, right? So there's names we just don't use because they have meaning. There's historical meaning behind these names because of individuals. These individuals gave them a bad name, right? We don't use those. We don't use those. And we saw that Jesus' name, we're going somewhere with this, by the way. It's not just talking about names, but Jesus' names. I like that study on that we've done. We talk about Jesus' names. They meant something. They define who Jesus was. We've talked about, it's been a long time, but Jesus is actually was actually Joshua. So to a Jew, Joshua helped them conquer the land of Canaan. So there's some analogies that might think of there. Christ or the Messiah, that was a term that meant something. The Messiah was the one promised from God, the one they was waiting on. Christ and Messiah, by the way, the same word, obviously spelled different, but the same idea. Emmanuel was God with us. That meant something. That meant something. The Son of God, it meant something. What does it mean to be a son of somebody? That has weight, that has meaning. Son of God, Son of Man, the Lamb of God, a lamb to a Jew, a lamb recognized a sacrifice part of the name, the Lamb of God. So that meant something. That meant something. Kids, I hope you can keep up today. I don't know. We may flip through some of these sites kind of quickly. But the Lamb of God means something. So names mean something. What about Christian? Have we thought about Christian? What does Christian mean? So this is where we're going with the lesson. Defining Christian. And that is just a follower of Christ. And this is not real complicated, and we might recognize that. A follower of somebody. Our culture, we have people who that follow other people, and then they'll be called those names. We're Christians. We're followers of Christ. And it was used in Acts 11:26 for the first time, and we've studied that. So it's worthy. We'll look at this one. We won't look at all of them. There's just three references to this name in the Bible, in the New Testament, but we have this one here. So Acts 11:26. As Barnabas and Paul were working and in converting people, and converting Jews and Gentiles both, Acts 11 and verse 26. When Barnabas had found Paul in verse 26, he brought him to Antioch. And it came to pass that they were there a whole year, assembling themselves with the church, and taught many people. And the disciples were first called Christians in Antioch, or were called Christians first in Antioch. Christians, the disciples of Jesus, the followers of Jesus, those who believed in Jesus, those who were baptized and converts, called Christians. Well, that name means something. If we're a Christian, it means something. And again, right now we've just passed the study here where we talked about Agrippa. Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Agrippa was almost persuaded to be a Christian. That meant something. If he accepted that title, it meant something. And then in Peter, the other third time it's referenced, is talking about the suffering of a Christian. But to be a Christian is literally to be a follower of Christ. A follower of Christ. Today, some of the terms that we might think of and use in religious context is Calvinist. That's a common word. The followers of John Calvin's doctrine. Sometimes members of the church are called Campbellites. I actually heard that word in the last few months. I don't hear it very often, and rarely have I think probably the first time that I've actually heard the term used outside the context of a church. Campbellites. Those words have meaning. The words have meaning. As does the word church. And this one's probably a little more not as obvious to us. When we think of church, we think probably, most likely, most often, we think of the building, the old wooden church house we saw on the first slide. The structure is what we often think of, isn't it? We think of a building. Well, it turns out the New Testament word used and translated church has much deeper meaning than just a place of assembly. Much deeper. It's actually, according to Strong's word definitions, as it is used, it is a calling out. A calling out. And not just the fact that we assemble together somewhere, but it is a calling out away from something. Calling out of the world, out of darkness into light is where we're heading with this. And another word study Thayer, it is a gathering of citizens, but called out from their homes into a public place. So we're called out of our homes into Jensen's Grove. We have a concert. We're called out of our homes into a park. But in the religious sense, in the sense of the church, when we're talking about religious, in that a religious sense, we're called out of the world, out of darkness, into the light, so we're called out. And it is also technically used in a couple of different ways. Another way is of an assembly, okay? So it is referencing an assembly itself, a general assembly, not a specific assembly, but just the gathering together. But the lesson here, we're going to focus on the idea of a called out people. We're going to focus on being called out. And once again, the word church, it can have very many meanings in the world today. And a common everyday use of that word does not match what the true Greek word meant. That Greek word had meaning. It had a deeper meaning. That's what I want to explore today. As we talk about an assembly, we're talking about the church, we're going to talk more about this called out, the called out aspect of it. And also, and not as heavily focused on it, but the idea of the Christian name, a follower of Christ, what does that mean? Because it kind of really fits together. As we talk about religion, as we talk about Christianity, we're followers of Christ. We are also a called out people. So we're Christians and we're a church in those regards. So as we continue to talk about and think about the idea of an assembly, the churches were called. Local churches were called churches. Paul wrote his letters to assemblies of Christians or called out groups. In the Bible, in the New Testament, in 1 Corinthians 1, verse 2, in particular, Paul says there, unto the assembly, unto the called out of God, in verse 2 of 1 Corinthians, unto the church of God, unto the called out of God. So much power in that, right? Unto the called out of the world, who are they called by is God. God has called them, okay? Unto the church of God or assembly of God is another shorter way of saying that, not quite as deep as the meaning of the word church is, but assembly of God, that's where that term would come from. We've heard that term as there's a religious group that goes by that title. But it's assembly of God at Corinth. The Christians at Corinth are called out at Corinth. And there's a few other places, and the Bible, actually the New Testament is full of these. Thessalonians, to the church of the Thessalonians, as Paul wrote there in 1 Thessalonians 1:1 and 1 Timothy 3:15, talks about the church of the living God, the assembly of the living God, and a little more specifically about the group, and not so much focus maybe on the called out part of it. And so we see some of the uses of that. So as we look, Christian and church, those words have meaning. I know why I'm so messed up here. I keep looking back. I forgot to change my screen on my computer. But so these terms have meaning. They express ideas. They're not just mere words. They're not just mere titles, are they? They have a deep and deeper meaning maybe than we've thought about before, right? And so as we study this lesson, we're going to see these words and relate to these words, the called out of and called into. And we're going to talk about being put off and put on. Both terms will be associated with both words here, Christian and the church. And we will study these things. So I want to start first talk about the called out, being called out. And if you're back in 1 Peter, or if you marked that, I would leave a marker there. We'll go back several times in this lesson. So in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, where we started with our reading. In 1 Peter 2, verse 9. Notice this idea. Think of the idea of being called out. We are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. They should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. So we have the idea of called out. We have a special people, a select people, a people of purpose. But in particular, we're called out. We're called out of darkness. And the idea of darkness has to do with the idea, it's a symbol of all that is evil, that is of malice, of crime, of wrongdoing, of distrust. All kinds of these things come into the idea when we talk about darkness, that word again. We talk about use of words. What do they mean? Darkness has those ideas behind it. Evil is what the idea is behind that. And then again, and this is the two parallel passages I'm wanting to refer to in our lesson here is the Colossians. So if you have multiple bookmarks or some paper, Mike Mark Colossians chapter 3, because we will return to this passage as well. That's the two passages, 1 Peter and then again in Colossians. So Colossians chapter 3, verse 1 through 4. The idea of being called out. The idea of being called out. Colossians chapter 3, verse 1. If you are risen with Christ, seek those things which were above, which where Christ sits on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth, for you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. There within this is the idea of being called out. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. We're here on the earth, but our mind and our desires, put them to heaven. Calling ourselves out of the earth, but don't put our emphasis and our desires on things on the earth, but things in heaven. So we're called out. And it's the idea here of the differences between the physical and the heavenly, the physical and the spiritual. Now, we can see this physical and we can touch it and our desires upon those things, but he wants our desires to be called out of that, out of the physical, but to the spiritual and the heavenly. So the other term we're talking about, the being called out, it means put off these things, as we've also noted. And so let's continue our reading here in Colossians chapter 3. There are things we're to put off of. And so there in Colossians chapter 3, verse 5, we'll continue our reading. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth. Fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry, for which things' sake the wrath of God comes on the children of disobedience, in the which you also walk some, in which you also walked sometime when you lived in them. But now ye also put off all these things: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds. We're to put off these things. We're to call out of the world, call out of these things, or put off these things. Well, first of all, it's talking about killing off the old man first. And if you'll notice, and we're not going to go there, but the parallels here in verse 5 and 6 to that in Romans chapter 6. But the idea that we are dead to the world and we are alive in Christ. We're to kill the old man of the world off. We're to put off this old man. That word in verse 5 says mortify. To put that old man to death. Bury him. Leave him buried. Put off the old man. And what in particular, he gives some examples here, and that's important for us and good to look at. Fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection. These things seem to be mostly associated with idolatrous worship, possibly. But these were definitely sins that were a concern, and most of these in verse 5 and maybe in entirety there is of intimacy, sins of intimacy there. Maybe not completely, but certainly in part. But then again, in verse 8 and 9, as we saw, put off anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication. So here, things that are verbalized, maybe to in whole or at least in part, the verbal evil, if we'll say that. Put off these things. Bury that old man. Kill him and bury him. Bury him deep. Don't let him come back out. Put that old man off. Put that old man off. Because and the implication here in the outright statement is, you used to be that. You used to be that. Put that off. Remove yourself from that. And so in verse 7, as you may have noticed there,
in the which also you walked some time when you lived in them. And then back in 1 Peter, if you have that marked still, turn over there. It's also referenced as Peter wrote that particular letter there. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 3. 1 Peter 4 verse 3 and 4. For the time past of our life, many suffices to have wrought the will of the Gentiles. In other words, we used to do the will of the Gentiles. We used to follow what they do. When we walked in their lasciviousness, lust, excess of wine, revelings, banquetings, abominable idolatries. And so there we see that, yes, Christians used to be these things. But Paul's saying, kill that man. Bury that man. You're not to be that man. Put that man off. Because you're a Christian now. You're called out now. You're a follower of Christ and you're called out of the world. I use both of the words that we've kind of defined and discussed at the beginning of our lesson. Put off those things. But we're not just to put off things, we're to put on things. We're called into things. So what are we called into? 1 Peter 2 and 9 again. 1 Peter 2 and 9, go look in that passage again. We are called into his marvelous light is the term there. So we're in that particular verse, in verse 9, you're called out of darkness. We're called into his marvelous light. And the light is symbol of all that is good, that is of wisdom and righteousness, of sight and seeing versus darkness and blindness. And I didn't add that to the other note about darkness, but the good that comes into the light. That is a positive thing. You're using a positive, it's a figure of speech that is used in our New Testament, showing goodness and righteousness. And that's what we're called into. We are called into that. And back over to Colossians chapter 3, verse 10 and 11. This will continue our reading here. Colossians 3, verse 10 and 11. Having put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him, for there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision or uncircumcision, barbarian or Scythian, bond or free, but Christ is all in all. We're called into the light. And verse 10 says, we're put on the new man and renewed in knowledge. It's the image of him that created him. We're the image of Jesus. Christian, a follower. Christian, a follower of Jesus. One who patterns our life after Jesus. We're called into that kind of life. And then we continue on. We're to put on, as is already noted in verse 10, but continues in verse 12 of Colossians 3. Colossians 3, verse 12. Continue the reading. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy. Actually, maybe read this maybe more appropriate in English. Put on, therefore, as the elect, holy, and beloved of God, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, also do ye. And above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of completeness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you are called in one body, and be ye thankful. And so we're holy and beloved of God. We're to put on these things. And we saw the ideas of compassionate heart, kindness, humility, meekness, patience, forbearing with one another, forgiving each other. Put on love above all these things. Put on love. Put on peace of Christ, or the peace of Christ to rule in your heart. Be thankful and let the word of Christ dwell in you abundantly. And I took out some of the other wording there, but focusing on what we're to put on. We're to put on these things. We are a Christian. We're a follower of Christ. To be a Christian and to wear that name right, we must put these things on. We must put these things on. And so we see the words we use and the titles we go by mean something. And yes, we use them, and sometimes we use them in a way that is common because we use them every day. It's used in words morph in meaning. We're not naive. We realize that the words of our society change. The Greek word that was used in reference to the Christian was the called out. The called out. They were literally called out of darkness but been called into light. And I kind of separate these a little bit, but they overlap so much, don't they? The word, the idea of being a Christian and a follower of Christ versus an assembly of those called out of the world, called out of darkness. Christian, honoring our name. We have accepted the name Christ. We use the name Christ. It makes us a follower of Him. Therefore, we should look like Him and desire to be like Him. And to separate these between these two titles really doesn't work out so much because these ideas and concepts so much overlap. But to be look like Christ, we must put things off. And the Corinthian letter went through and talked about a lot of things that we're to put off and the things we're supposed to put on. And we saw those there. And notice as well, and this is the beauty of the gospel. Which were some of you? All these things we read through. The Christians who were converted and obeyed in New Testament times, they were these things. And we were these things too in some ways. We may have been this way as well. They walked and lived in them. And as Christians, we may have walked and lived different way in our lives. That's the beauty of the gospel. And that's the beauty of salvation. We can live this day and we can cast off all that burden, all the wrongdoing that we may have done in our past can be put away. Be put away. Which were some of you? They are now Christians. They are now an assembly of God and a called out of the world. Called out of the world. We also see the idea of living or wearing that name proudly. There in our passage in 1 Peter chapter 4, I didn't read the fourth verse there earlier, but 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 4. Now, 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 4 reads, they think it, well, let me read verse 3 and 4 together. For the times past of our life, many suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles. In other words, we live like the Gentiles. We lived according to their pleasures. Because they walked in lasciviousness and lust and drunkenness and revelings and banquetings and abominable idolatries. Notice verse 4. Now, what do they think of you? Wherein they think it strange you run not with them to the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you. I think it's odd. Why don't you do this anymore? We had so much fun together when we hung out, right? Did you see that from the world? Wear our names proudly. Yes, it is a change. Yes, it is a difference. Yes, it's an about face. Yes, there is baggage that we may have in our life, but Jesus offers to carry that baggage for us, although this indicates that all the baggage will not be taken away. In other words, they will still wonder, why aren't you doing this anymore? That's just weird, right? That peculiar people. The peculiar people we talked about in chapter 2, verse 9. They'll think of us peculiar. But we wear the name Christ. We are an assembly of God. We are those called out of the world into righteousness. Called into the light, into the marvelous light. Would you accept that title, Christian? The Christians were those who were converted to follow Christ. A follower of Christ obeyed Christ. Christ instructed that you be baptized and you have your sins washed away based on belief in Him. If you believe in our Savior, do what Christ says. Be a follower of Christ. Become a Christian. You do that by being baptized. And if you've and then wear that name proudly, and maybe and the beauty of the gospel is it's not a one and done. We can continue to go back to God when we make mistakes and recover from those mistakes in life. He promises that as well. So wear the name of Christian proudly, and if you're subject to our gospel, want you want to put on the name of Christ, we encourage you to make that known now. If you need to make things right and get back right with God, we encourage you to make that known if you feel the need to, as we stand and we sing our song of encouragement.